So you know, this is third seminar of the year. So we are very happy to have François Fournier today, who is a professor at the University of Paris. And so he's actually a mathematician and not a condensed matter physicist. So, and based on my previous limited experience, so I had an impression that often mathematical physicists do prove rigorously something that we know well. So, but François is not like that. So he's a rare case of a mathematician who is doing many interesting things from the physics point of view, but is doing them more rigorously than we do. So in particular, recently, François and his collaborators, they pointed out a very interesting possibility that many by the localization might occur in systems without quenched disorder. And so they obtained some very nice results on this problem that François is going to tell us about today.
Okay, so many thanks for your introduction and your invitation. So I will actually, there will be little real results in what I will tell now. I will rather tell you some thoughts. And so, and I must say that we do not have a conclusion on the topic that I will speak about. So, so it's a work with Wojciech de Roucq from Leuven, and recently we started collaborating with, so mainly with him, and then with Marcus Müller from Trieste and his student, Schulz. So we are interested in some quantum many-body systems that fail to thermalize. And so this is something that is called many-body localization. It is usually associated with some sort of Anderson localization. So it is mainly studied for a system with some quenched disorder in it. And what we try to explore is the case where the interaction among particles will actually create sort of a disorder. And so that even in translation invariant system, you could have a many-body localized phase, perhaps. I mean, I think it's still an open question, but perhaps something to think about it. So let's consider one-dimensional chains one-dimensional system, so you have something like that. So the Hamiltonian is a sum of local Hamiltonians, so you have just sides. So V is volume, but it's 1D, so okay, so from 1 to V. And so some cases it has been discovered that there is no thermalization in those systems, which means that, for example, if you put a lot of energy on the left, a little energy on the right, well, it will stay like that over the course of time. So you could perhaps several ways to quantify. So one, what I would say is perhaps empirical. Well, it's not really empirical, but is to look, for example, at the thermal conductivity of this system. So let's say that you could look at it in equilibrium, for example. So this is this a time integral over, so you can define a current operator that says how energy is transferred between each side. So you could define something like that, no? And you trace at temperature T. And if that vanishes, for example, that is an index that, I mean, that means that there is sort of low transport. Now, this is perhaps not a very strong definition of localization, because if that vanishes, what it means is that you have a system which is essentially subdiffusive, but perhaps this is not equivalent to lack of thermalization, because it could just thermalize on longer time scales, although I have no example of that happening, but why not? So maybe we would like to have a characterization, a stronger one in terms of eigenstates of the system, which would be look a bit more intrinsic. So and let me give you also an example of chain for which that is believed that it is possible. So I will take a spin chain as an example here. So these are the spin chain. So sigma z. Oh, let's call it sigma 3, otherwise it's a bit confusing. So sigma 3, then there is those are random numbers here. So omega x are, I don't know, ID variables with some variance of order one, for example. And then a small perturbation term, which can flip the spin. So something like this, no? And x plus one. And let's also take x plus two to make it non-integrable. So for example, this model. So if j, let's say that j is perturbative parameter, so let me take that j is much less than one. And if j was zero, the eigenstates are just product states, no? So it's just spin up, spin down. And what it means to be manimeter localized would mean that the eigenstate are sort of small perturbation of those states. So one way you could phrase that is that if you take a local operator, so OA, which act in a small region A, so typical example could be just the spin at X, for example, spin at origin, for example, okay? That's a local operator at origin. So if you now consider the change of basis that will diagonalize this Hamiltonian, so which contains, in fact, the eigenvectors of this Hamiltonian. So let's call it U. Okay, so U is diagonalizing. So this is diagonal. Then this, in the new basis, this operator will be still essentially a local operator. So you will have, so OA U dagger will be not be really local, but essentially local. So let's say that you can expand it like that over connected sets that contains the initial one of, let's say, something like that. And those are operators in those sets here. And this will quickly converge. So let's say that the norms of those operator is smaller than E minus C A. So if you take a big volume, it is very, very small contribution. So you can approximate by something local. So this is what it means. And let's say that this is not, the constant here is not exactly a constant, because if you take a very long system, unavoidably there will be some regions where omega x will just be almost constant in a big volume. So sort of large deviation of this external field. And there, perhaps you thermalize. You can thermalize in some island. So for some A somewhere, it will be so that this constant will be taken a bit smaller. So that's a fact, right? That somewhere you will have something that is a bit delocalized, but okay. So so in this model, what is the role of the disorder? This is to create a frequency miss or energy mismatch when the perturbation is applied. So if you apply the perturbation between two states, typically the perturbation will be of order j. So let's say that you are flipping spin, and maybe the difference in energy that will result, or in the uncoupled energy, will be something like omega x minus omega x plus one if you are flipping between x and x plus one, and this is this much smaller than the energy difference. So this is this phenomenon that makes that you get localization in that case, exactly like for the one dimensional, the one particle Anderson model. So I think the first, so that's kind of the first example of many body localized system that have been a bit studied. And it was natural to study them with disorder for this property. And also because in, let's say, for the one body problem, the localization was due to the disorder. So now what we started thinking is that if you have strong enough interaction between particles, then this interaction could supply the disorder. So you consider a Hamiltonian which has no quenched disorder in it, but due to interaction, it creates sort of a random landscape. And maybe it is equivalent as this quench disorder. I mean, it's not clear, but why not? So let's take an example of a system where that perhaps could be the case. And let me take the Bose-Herbert model as, I think, relatively popular model. So goes Huber. So you have h equal, let's say, sum of x. So you have creation annihilation for bosons, and then a Hopping term, let's say something like that, plus the complex conjugate. Okay. Okay, and again, the j, I mean it to be the perturbative parameter of this model, so this j is much less than one. And you see that if you are in the case g equals zero, then it is obvious that this is many body localized, since you are just those classical states telling you. So let's say that nx is the number of particles per side. There would be just a product basis for this system, which is MBL. Yes. They are bosons, yes.
Are you allowing like only one particle per side?
No, no. So you can have many. You should have many, because the effect that I will speak depends on it.
Okay.
So real bosons, not Hartwell bosons. So that's okay, I think. So let's look at some typical. So let's say that the classical states will be just the states where you specify the number of particles per side, right? So a state eta is just giving all the nx at each side, and you will, if you go, let me go at a relatively high temperature. So that means that essentially nx, typically, which is, let's say, the square root of the temperature, will be much bigger than one. So typically, in every site, you have a lot of bosons on top of each other. So you could think that if I display how look the classical state, so you will have nx here, and so x is x plus one, and so on. So perhaps you have here one level, here something like that. Okay, sometimes there are two levels that are close to each other, but this is something that appears rarely. And from this picture, I want to say that the idea that resonances are very rare can be actually recovered. So let's look what does the, if I introduce the perturbation, what it does. So I look at two states. Okay, let's write that, h and another state. So typically what you do is that, for example, you create one here, and you will disjoin one there. So that will be something like nx. So that will be proportional, essentially, I think, to nx times j. And if you look at the energy difference that is associated, so I mean, you can neglect the terms of order j. So if you look at the uncoupled energy difference, so E0 eta prime minus, so this the energy difference, so this will be something like nx square plus nx plus 1 square minus nx plus 1 square minus nx plus 1 minus 1 square. So this is, I mean, all what is not at x and x plus 1 has just not changed. So I just look at the case where the interaction was happening here. And so this in general is, again, of order nx. So you see that if j has been taken very small, then this is essentially this is much smaller than the energy difference, so you are in the non-resonant case. So you typically hope that is something that you will be able to remove perturbatively. It just happens once in a while that you have a resonance, so the resonance would be this case where this just swap. So in that case, there is just no energy difference between those two cases, so that would correspond to a resonance. But this is essentially, if you go at high enough temperature, this is some rare event, and maybe you could think this is not very relevant. So essentially, I think at this level, we are in the same situation as for the quench disorder system, where you have mainly no resonances and once in a while a resonance. So from there, it was sort of believable that this would get many body localized, who knows. So it has been, so we produced some result on that. And let me first mention a result by, so numerics by Carleo. So on the Bose-Herbert model, Carleo, Becca, I don't know, Skiro, and Fabrizio. So this is from 2012. And so they looked essentially at this setup. So what they took is that they took the Bose-Herbert model and they start from an inhomogeneous state a bit like here, except that I was really going to very high temperature. They didn't go so high, so it was typically two or three atoms in top of each other. And what they observed is at least a very slow thermalization. So they could not really conclude that there was MBL phase or so, but they concluded it was thermalizing really very, very slowly. So confirming a bit this impression. And then with Wojtek, we just made a conjecture and a related theorem, which the theorem does not prove the conjecture, but sort of supports it. So we, I will say you why, but we cheated a little bit. So instead of taking so we conjectured that we took as Hamiltonian something slightly different. Is instead of the square, we took a slightly larger power, which helped us. So it's the same essentially. But here you can even take J equal 1 plus Hermitian conjugate. So let's say Q bigger than 2. So this is good because in the large temperature limit, so this will the energy difference will behave like nx q minus 1. Well, so this will be the typical energy mismatch, while the perturbation will be of order nx. So this will be much smaller than that if you are at high temperature. So it helps a bit to consider this case, although I think the conjecture would still be valid for the Bose-Herbert model with j small enough. And so the conjecture we had was that the thermal conductivity of this system was non-perturbative in the limit of high temperature. So what it means? What it means is that it will go down faster than any polynomial, inverse polynomial in T. So let's say KT would be smaller than for every n. So you could think of e minus 1 over exponential minus 1 over t, for example, as a function that I don't claim that it is like that, but perhaps. So it's very difficult to have a theorem about the real conductivity of those systems because, I mean, typically you cannot even prove that this is finite, for example, something that you surely expect. But what we did was we considered some cutoff on the time integral in order to get some result. So we proved that. So instead of having the time integral going to infinity, we took it to go to infinity like the temperature. So you had Tn like that. So dt. So this is trace. And then again, multiply that even by Tn. And we showed that the limit when t was going to infinity was 0. So this we thought was an indication. It's sort of a weak limit, if you wish, but we saw that was an indication that this conjecture should be true, although this is obviously a much more limited statement. So I think it's sort of a bit beyond doubt that there is at least some asymptotic phenomenon of localization in those systems. And you could expand, you could do a lot of other systems, like even classical chains, for example. So there are analogous classical chains like the rotor chain for which you could obtain similar results and formulate similar conjectures, which are a bit phenomena like KM phenomena happening, in fact. So yeah.
Can you briefly remind us what the numerical evidence in this paper was?
exactly what it was. So I, so that what they took, I think, is some finite chain, and they, so if I, they had, let's say they put circular boundary conditions, so they have a finite number of sides. And then they start with a, something which is a bit homogeneous. So I think, if I remember correctly, here they put the two particles, then no particle, and something similar to that, or perhaps then there was a smaller gap. And then they start measuring how that was relaxing towards equilibrium. I don't exactly know what was the way it was measured, the way they did measure the relaxation towards equilibrium, but I just remember that the result was essentially that it was much slower than what you could perhaps naively think in terms of the initial parameter of the model. So
I think they were looking at local observables, right? They were looking, for example, at the density on some site and seeing how it would relax to one. And somehow for this particular state, right, they thought there was something special about this state. Right?
Yeah, so for first they thought they took first lower energy states, and they, for lower energy state they observed fast thermalization. But then they start taking something more inhomogeneous or more or higher energy, and then they saw that there was a very slow, much slower relaxation towards equilibrium. But I should look up more to remember exactly what was shown in the paper. But somehow going into that direction, that starting from an inhomogeneous state, you should you perhaps relax very slowly towards the equilibrium. Okay, so I think the question sort of is whether those sort of asymptotic results are essentially all what you can say about it, or whether there is some true MBL phase, like it is, for example, for those disordered systems.
So yeah. How does your result
end up being one dimension? No, it
does not. So that limit that you put
in. No, it's valid in higher dimension. I think most of what I'm saying, well, I'm not entirely sure, but I think most of what I'm saying is not depending on that, except that it's easier to speak about it. So no, there is not a special phenomenology that, like in the one-body problem, that in 1D it's special and you are always localized. So there is not something like that you should expect here. So let's say I go 1D just for simplicity. Yeah, actually, we formulated the theorem in a higher dimension.
So I'm confused about something very probably simple. So how do you define temperature? You're talking about something that's not thermalizable, right?
Right, but you could still consider thermal state. So let's say that we, first of all, perhaps it does thermalize ultimately. But so in the definition here of the conductivity, so the temperature is shows up by considering
the E
minus beta H in the ensemble that you are considering. So you are, the way you sample the states is according to.
So you're assuming that it's thermal ensemble with the temperature T, and then you are producing that result.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit funny, right?
You could say so, yes. I'm okay.
I'm much more happy about that statement about the fact that you look at some dynamical observables and you make a statement that something doesn't relax as you would expect, other than looking at something that's equilibrium type of observable.
Yeah, okay.
And then concluding from that the system is not equilibrium.
Yeah, it's, I'm a bit okay with you say, how to say it. So for convenience, we took that as a way to sample the states that we were looking at. And you see, even when I'm speaking about this here. So I imagine this to be sort of typical state at a given temperature. But again, this notion of typicality, I mean, is depending on the temperature, but is not really the same as saying that it thermalizes sort of. So, I will still speak about things that I mean to be typical with respect to a temperature, which means with respect to some ensemble of states, although perhaps there is indeed no thermalization.
Actually, I don't think this assumption is crucial, right? This is just your sampling states with a given energy density with some weight, right? So, I mean, probably you could prove this just for the states with an energy density at some window, right? Right, so there is no, I don't think there is an assumption of
no, we don't
anywhere.
Well, for the mathematical result, we use at the end that it was an invariant measure, but you could perhaps have taken a microcanonical measure. But I don't see how to define this conductivity without taking some temperature. Well, you could obviously study something more physical, like this Ness profile, and see what happens to this non-equilibrium stationary state. But this is more complicated. So we started with that. And we could obtain something. So that's the way it is for the moment. So anyway, I think you should be convinced that this theorem is not extremely important. What is important is that we think that there is a sort of or lack or very very slow thermalization in those systems. Yes.
Do the boundary conditions matter?
I don't know. I think not, but that is not something that we checked. So let's move perhaps to the question whether you could have some true MBL phase for those systems. And so there are some sort of a priori feeling that goes a bit against it, and one is translation invariant. So if you put periodic boundary condition, you expect that the eigenstates, unless there is some very strange or very unexpected degeneracy, will be also invariant in the translation. So that goes against what I was saying initially, that the eigenstate should look like small perturbation of product states. But you can break this boundary condition by just considering other boundary condition. And so this scenario for localization is a scenario for spontaneous symmetry breaking in the system, actually. Now, another thing which is true and which also invalidates the definition of localization that I was giving here is that if you restrict yourself, for example, to very low densities, then also, as observed by Carleo and co-authors, you should not expect any localization. So typically, if you have only a couple of particles once in a while, then they move freely and they collide a bit and so on. So there are very few resonances. So this is probably be a thermal state. So it means that surely not all states are localized. So, and moreover, you even without going to very low density, you could think that some very flat profiles will also be delocalized. So this is Nx, and let's say that you have everywhere three particles. And so on. So every three particles, just that once in a while there is a fourth one. Okay, just once in a while. And again, this has a lot of resonances, and although it is not low density, you could expect that this will also perhaps be delocalized. So because of that, this representation of what could mean localization that I was writing here cannot be correct. So it's impossible that those operators with decay with this norm. And I would observe that this fact is also present. So there are other, even with disorder, there are cases where we think, or some people think, that there is a localization, delocalization, transition, not in terms of the coupling parameter J, but in terms of the temperature. So let's say this is a case that was, I think that this first paper really about many-body localization. So this paper by Basco, Aleiner, Altschuler. So I obviously forgot how to write Altschuler, but it's probably wrong. Say like that. So they consider a system where at low energy, you have typically little interaction. It is like linear interaction, and so it is localized. And when at higher energy, then there start to be more interaction, and the system delocalizes. So this is actually, this is 2006 or something like that. So this is also a system where this formula would not be valid, but I think if you still would be interested in the transport coefficients, for example, like defined here at some temperature T, that wouldn't matter. So this could still be zero if you go at the good temperature. So if you go at low enough temperature, typically in the thermodynamic limit, you sample only on low energy states and almost not on high energy states. So you can still get to that to be zero. And if you want still to keep a representation of that kind, then you could, if you just sort of reinterpret, instead of having this operator norm, you just take a norm that is tracing over all the states so that you have this statistical information included in the definition. So this would be rather like, for example, the trace norm. It's not very important exactly what, but I mean something that takes account of the fact that you sample over some specific states rather than other. So that would mean that if you have an untypical state, still that will not be small, but because you sample over only some states, so that they would sort of not count. Okay, so I would say that those two things are not. So the fact that there is translation invariant and the fact that not all states are localized, that are sort of not things that should make impossible the localization in this model. So I would like to come to the thing that I think is the main fact why you should perhaps doubt about many-body localization in the system. So let's go in dimension two because it's a bit more clean. So if I take this system like here, so you will find unavoidably some ergodic islands in the system. So there are, if J is small enough, this will be very rare. But here somewhere you have some ergodic island, and this corresponds to the cases, the source of anomalous fluctuations of the external field omega x. So all the here in those points, all the omegas are almost the same. So if they are all the same, then I mean there is absolutely no reason to believe that this will be localized, I think. So in those islands, you will have a bit of ergodic things. Okay. But what in those fully many-body localized systems, what is very important is that the location of those islands is determined by the disorder. So it is you can say a priori where you find them. So resonant, so let's call that resonant island. Or location, so the location is determined by disorder. Okay. Now, if you go to the Bose-Herbert model, so you have also a bit of resonant island. So as I said, there are the cases where, for example, in 1D, so the two energy levels are just difference by one. So then you can just flip them without changing the uncoupled energy. But the difference is that there is obviously their location depends not on an external parameter, but depends on the initial state that you had. So in particular, this what you could fear is that this island that is here, there is for other initial state, you have an island that is like that, just intersecting but very, very close. And so what you could think is that the transition from this island to this island is resonant, or that there's nothing forbidden about it, and that the mechanism for delocalization is that those rare events, those rare islands, start moving into the system and will start delocalizing it. So this is the thing that we started thinking, and we started making some analysis on that. So we wanted to know whether that was really happening.
If you're given the disorder, you know how to estimate the density of these islands? That's the point?
Well, that's one point. That's true. So I indeed know the density.
Given an initial state, you want to figure out how many of these islands there are and what's the overlap
right now. No, no. Okay. So if I go to the disordered case, so one thing is that I can know what is the density of those islands, because this is, I mean, I erased. But so the omega x are all independent. So you will have some threshold for resonance, and you can estimate what is the probability that you have in some small volume that they are all very close to each other, and this is exponentially small, but if the volume is large enough, it happens. What is important is that you know where it is in advance. So once you have given your disorder, then you know that it is there. So in particular, you cannot have this scenario that this resonant bubble moves here, because there cannot be here a resonancing. Now, if you take the case of this Bose-Herbert model, the estimate on the probability of having those spots is just the same as in the disordered model. So if you take the temperature large enough, it is very unlikely that two states will be resonant. So you will still have very rare spots. The thing which is different is that there is no a priori location, which is okay. It's translation invariant. So it will depend on the initial state where they actually are. And so what you could fear is that, so for one initial state, they could be here. For another one, it is there. And there could be a transition between those two things. And if this is resonant, I will. So if this is resonant, then maybe this is a mechanism for delocalization, right?
Your islands in the Bose-Hubbard model are just like pockets of high particle density, right?
So the islands are. So let me show. So what happens is that, for example, you have. Let's go back to 1D, okay? So you have here something like that, and here it's here. Okay, so the difference here between those two. So this is nx. And this is just the difference is one, and here the difference is two, for example. So that is a resonant island, because if you just swap those two levels, you don't change the uncoupled energy of the system. So you could do that. So you will have this. But so now you see indeed that although this guy a priori was not resonant with this guy, now it became. So you can also exchange them, and you get that. So what happens on this very small example is that the island that was here has moved here by means of resonant transitions. So this is what I was trying to illustrate, that is the thing that you will not observe for this quench disordered systems. So but you see it is a bit subtle. I mean, so if you had a more complicated landscape, is it clear that you will be able to find something that you can move all over the places by those resonances? And we started analyzing that. We realized afterwards that perhaps it was not the most clever thing to do, but still let me tell you what we started doing. So we started investigating the possibility of percolating by resonances in those systems. And we found the following, that if you take really the Bose-Herbert as I gave you, we saw that typically they could not percolate. So we found that if you have here one level, and let's say the distance is at least 3, so this is nx, and here is nx minus 1, and the occupation numbers differ at least by 3, and here also more than 3, then whatever you can do with whatever moves you can try doing with resonances, this site will be frozen forever. So this site will never, I mean, the occupation number here will always stay what it was initially. So sort of the resonances do not have this possibility of percolating.
So you assume that difference in occupation numbers between any of the neighbors is greater than...
No. So here you can have something like that. So possibly a lot of resonant moves are possible. But I say that if here it's bigger than 3 and here bigger than 3, then this guy will be frozen forever. But this is not something that you are, perhaps you see it at once, I don't know, but let's say we didn't, and we did a detailed analysis. We realized afterwards that this was not needed to do such an analysis, but initially we tried like that. And then, so the reason why we were not satisfied is that it was very model dependent. So change a little bit the model, but this is really, you do not expect, I think, that physics will be affected by this change, but change it a little bit. Instead of having a purely one-dimensional model, take two-lane models. So you have like particles are like that. Okay, on two lanes. And then for that case, we showed that, yes?
Just to clarify a little bit this statement about the single layer double model. So you say if I prepare an initial state that will have a very high occupancy on one side and maybe much smaller everywhere else, if that's separated by at least three from the neighboring ones,
yeah,
that occupancy should stay frozen if I quench it in the full Hamiltonian.
So I agree at least with the beginning of what you said. So if indeed you prepare something like exactly what you said me, and then you are allowed to move particles only by resonant moves. So for example, what it means exactly, it means that you can only swap two particles if they are just near neighbors. So you see here, I was able, although here, so here the difference was two, and I was able to unfroze this particle by doing that. While if I had taken not two, but three, then I claim that I would not, never have been able to do that. So it's a one-dimensional phenomenon that you should at some point cross two occupation numbers with difference bigger than two, and that's something that you cannot do if you want only allow for resonant exchanges. So it's a sort of a percolation problem, in fact. So is it so that those resonances will percolate or not? Will you explore all the phase space by moving only by resonancings? This was the question. And so if you move, is OK?
Will you explore all the phase space if you allow an occasional non-resonant move, occasional maybe you
can
explore
it. Yeah, so that is also sort of the reasons why we were not very satisfied by what we did ourselves. So this was very delicate, sort of. So also for example, this two lanes model. So we constructed explicitly a spot that was able to move across all the systems. So for example, let's say that here occupation number is four, and then for a long time it is three. And then for even much longer time, it is just the occupation number is two. So it is an extremely exceptional spot. And then it is one for even more. So what you can do is start diluting the four inside into the three. And then you can dilute the three into the two. And that will, whatever you have here, so here you don't know what is the occupation number, say that it's between zero and four. At some point, you will put, let's say that it was one. You will put a two here near, and then you will be able to swap, and you will be able to absorb the particle. So, okay, but so I think you feel that it's a bit an abstract game, no? So it is not very likely that the physics will depend on being one lane or two lanes and things like that, unless there was an integrability property of the one lane case. But we don't. It is not. No one thinks that the Hubbard-Bose-Hubbard model is integrable if it's only one lane. Okay, so then we realized that if you incorporate non-perturbative effects, so this was really a perturbative analysis in first order. If you include non-perturbative effects, then this you will robustly establish that those bubbles a priori could move. So let me try to give you. I think the argument is very general, but I would like to formulate it in a particular case, just thinking that perhaps it's okay. Some of you will think perhaps it's more complicated, but I would hope it's more helpful. So let me just change a little bit the model, and I go to 2D. And Let's just give some function that will give the energy. So they are close neighbors. And then the coupling, which is, again, sum over xy. So this is in dimension 2. Ax, Ay, plus Hermitian conjugate. And let's again analyze first the resonant Hamiltonian that comes in first order in this model. And let's say, so I start like before, okay, resonant in first order. And so you only allow transition. Okay, and what is this function E? Let's say that I would like, the only thing that is not broken by it is translation invariant. So in particular, if you have nx and y, two neighbors here, that do not have the same energy, for example, as nx and y, which is like that. So it's not very, I break those other symmetries. It's clear that more symmetries will generally be a problem for those this localization, but so I break, except translation invariants that I want to keep. So if you redo this kind of analysis of, so you can only, so what you could show under the, so resonant moves are the one that preserves the uncoupled energy. And so what you can, for example, discover, we're looking at it, is that if you have some square of four particles, so let's say nx, ny, nz, and w, and if the difference between nx and ny, ny and nz, nz and lw, and nw and nx is larger than 2, then this is frozen. So it's a bit the same game as I was playing here. So let's say nx minus ny bigger than 2, and so on, ny. Okay. While, for example, if you have an isolated particle, so let's say that you have no particle, just a particle, then this is like a free particle for this resonant Hamiltonian. So for the resonant Hamiltonian, you can easily identify two phases just by an easy recollection problem in Z2. So for Hres, so Hresonant is the Hamiltonian, so the only possible transitions so or it is 0, or it is that if the uncoupled energy is the same. You see? So that is H0. If so you keep only those matrix elements. So if the density of particles is very low, what you observe is sort of hardcore bosons, actually, yeah, typically sort of hardcore bosons. And once in a while, you have a small square which is frozen somewhere, but that doesn't matter. So this is something which is probably ergodic. And instead, if you go in the large density limit, then you get something that is typically completely frozen, except that you have those small islands where you have very few particles. And so you have again, here they are again like small hardcore bosons. So by percolation argument, you see that this is what the picture that you will get. So, and we are interested in this regime. So you have only very few islands. And what you can see is that, you see, no, so that was, okay, then you have the perturbation that was non-resonant, but the non-resonant perturbation can be removed by doing simple perturbation, in fact, so because it is non-resonant. But now you will still have, when you do that, you will still have terms of order J square that will appear. So a J square perturbation. Now what I want to say is that if you also diagonalize this resonant Hamiltonian inside of the island, then you can see that under this extra perturbation, Typically, the islands can, for example, absorb one boson from the external boundary inside the island and vice versa. So why I say this is non-perturbative? Because, I mean, we are looking at eigenstates inside of those ergodic sinks. So this is not something that you get in perturbation, how those eigenstates look like inside of the islands. So let me say that you have Psi, let's look at absorption of a boson, for example, by an island. So Psi is a state before absorption. And Psi prime is after absorption. And what I'd like to say is that if you take some Psi, then you will find then you may find Psi prime such that the transition is resonant, which means that J square, so let's call V the perturbation, J square Psi V Psi prime will be much larger than the energy difference, so E of Psi minus E of Psi prime. And okay, so you can typically absorb resonantly bosons. And okay, I can do the computation to see why that is, but we should think that it's not needed to do a computation. If those things are like ergodic spots, they should be like a bus. So it's normal that they can absorb and reject the bosons. I mean, you don't really need you should not really need a computation. So still let's say what it is. So let's say that n is the number of states in the bubble. So n scales typically like E times some entropy of volume of the bubble. Okay, and you can, if you assume like some ETH hypothesis for those states, so you see the difference of energy will be, you can reduce it to 1 over n. Okay, and if you assume some typicality for those states, like some ETH hypothesis, then you can see that this is only 1 over square root of n, in fact, this left factor. So you see, for a large enough bubble, this will compensate the J, and this will be essentially much larger than that, so your large bubble will be able to absorb. Okay, so that is the argument that we created to suggest that there should be delocalization. But now I must say you the truth, namely that, there are also reasons to not be very convinced by what I've been saying. So first of all, this does not really establish thermalization, right? It's just establishing that you can move all around by means of resonant transitions, which is not quite equivalent to speaking about thermalization. And recently we started, so that all that was done with Wojciech de Hoek. And recently we started some numerics with Markus Müller from Trieste and Ski Laz, which is actually the guy that is really running the numerics. And we tried to see whether that prediction was correct. Also because if it is correct, then it goes a bit against what Vasco Alainer and Altschuler have proposed, because they have proposed a transition in terms of the temperature or in terms of the energy. And there also you could imagine this bubble argument. So here we had low density bubble, that would be the mechanism for thermalization, but in that case you would have a high temperature bubble that could start propagating through the solid. So we started some numerics, and please don't take those numerics seriously for the moment, because we are still doing them, so it's not very clear whether that will not change in a few days. But we explicitly prepared states where there was a bubble. So for example, we took a chain, and we took actually, not only is it so that those guys predicted this transition, but it has also be, there is some numerical verification. So it's a much more recent article by Polman and co-workers. So I think it's 2014, where for some spin chains, he measures where should be the transition in function of the temperature. So we knew a bit where was the transition. And we prepared a state where, let's say it's something like tensite with a bubble. So here you have a high energy state, and here you have a low energy on the left. And we want, and globally, it was below the threshold, below the critical energy. So it was supposed to be delocalized, but if someone has believed in all what I was saying before, we should think perhaps that this bubble alone will suffice to delocalize the system. And for the moment, I must confess, it's not what is observed. So for the moment, this bubble just stay really put there. Even more, we also took larger bubbles where, so now you are even, the bubble is large enough so that globally you are supposed to be in the delocalized phase. And even there, we still saw that this bubble was not moving. So, okay, at this time, we are just a bit puzzled by what is happening, in fact. But as I said, let's perhaps not take too seriously this numerics for the moment. It's a bit, I think, too early to be conclusive.
So this result was for a model with quench disorder.
Yeah, with quench disorder. So
this is something like the spin chain that you mentioned in the beginning.
Right. But so indeed, you could still think that the quench disorder will not behave the same as the translation invariant. But let's say the level of those arguments. So how much time still?
Oh, sure, about a few minutes.
Okay. So then I will. So there are several ways to think where could be some potential error, in, or at least perhaps not an error, but some way to think that this. That indeed this does not lead to thermalization, but perhaps I would not stop. Okay. Okay. So thanks.
Questions. I'm wondering. What should one probe about the systems and numerics? Because, you know, for systems with quench disorder, so for example, entanglement of eigenstates or entanglement growth are very good measures, right, of localization. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm wondering, do you expect similar behavior in translation invariant systems
so
for entanglement, and, you know, what are
so
other
I,
measures of consider.
Yeah, so I do think that if those states were localized, or if they are localized, then the fact that there appears a small perturbation of those product states, I do guess, would also imply that this entanglement measure would still, or for example, this area law, that still will be a valid measure of localization of the states. So I don't expect that this needs to be different from what is the fact that there is or not disorder would change that characterization. I don't see at perhaps I don't see at once why that should.
I believe that in classical just localization, you have a band of states, and then the localized states appear at the edges of the band.
In mean, the classical is sorry, I did.
In the Anderson model,
yeah,
you have a region of delocalized states, and then outside of that, localized states.
Yeah.
Is something similar likely to happen in self-localization? Are we likely to see bands, and then outside of those bands, localized regions? Is it possible the localized regions will appear in the middle of the band?
I think we reasonably think is that there will not. I still, in fact, think that there will not really be those truly localized states at all at the end of the day.
So
this is a bit
arguing about them is talking about how many angels will dance on the head of a pin.
What?
Discussing the nature of the states is discussing angels dancing on the head of pins.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they could. I mean, I think, for example, those numerics suggest that they can be localized, but I just don't know. So I just. We have some arguments that goes in that direction, but at the end, I mean, for the moment, we are not really sure what happens. Yeah. So I think it should be explored a bit further to answer that kind of questions.
Yeah. Actually, in principle, this, you know, was a hypernormal is something that people realize was called atoms.
Yeah.
Right, so do you know of any experiments where people just try to prepare the state that you are describing and trace the evolution? Because, you know, given the limitations of numerics...
Yeah, that's right, yes.
Maybe an experiment could be your best bet.
Yeah. Well, but isn't it then a difficulty to keep for a long time the system evolving as a closed system? So do you not have...
Well,
so I have really no idea how experimental things are. But I suspect that could be another difficulty to maintain this system really closed for a long enough time to see what happens. But obviously you're right. I mean, so it would be nice if someone would do an experiment in that place.
Any last question? So let me mention that François is here until Friday, so he is in office 227.
You know it better than me.
So please feel free to confide with me on the chat.
Thank you.